around the world doing some great things. His church is just a young church. It's already grown into the hundreds. It's poised to grow much larger. They're getting ready to start another campus, getting ready to start doing things internationally. They're already doing some work in Indonesia, some other places. And so it's a young church, dynamic church, and it's because of their leadership. So I asked him if he was coming here to speak to us this morning, and then next week we'll come back and we'll continue on our Game Changers. But I want you to give him a great big warm welcome as he comes today. Pastor Cal Whitmer from Chandler, Arizona. Can you give him a hand? Come on, come on, that's right. A little honor.
Amen, amen. Come on, let's just give the Lord a shout right now. Come on, he's good. Give him a shout. All right, you may be seated. It's so awesome to be here. It's amazing to see just what Pastor Ray and Gail and what they've been through to make this transition, but also what you guys have been praying for. So I was here when they inducted him into the service. So to be here and just see the changes that are already going on is so inspiring to me. How many of you want to walk in authority? Five of you. You'll lead the rest. The key to authority is coming in another person's name. See, it's a problem with being an assistant manager. They get confused. They keep trying to overtake the manager when all they have to do is execute that which the manager is bestowing upon them. Jesus came in the name of his Father. And so this morning, I come in the name of your pastors, and I come in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you come in the name of Jesus, you will walk in authority. If you go in your name, your authority will be limited. Because spiritual authority cannot be taken, it must be given. Amen. So let's just honor your pastors real quick. Come on, let's give them a clap. I believe that every time we praise God for our pastors, it comes against the negative things spoken. It comes against the spiritual attacks of the enemy. You know, they only work 2 hours a week, but I remember I had a young man coming to me. He goes, Pastor, I barely made it to church. I was exhausted. I said, why? He goes, man, I worked 40 hours this week. I said, man, that's, I remember when I had a part-time job. But it is an honor to be here. You know, and I was thinking about really what to minister. And for me, something that will move you or help you in your life is always the best thing. And so sometimes we try to overcomplicate the things that God is trying to simplify. Because if it's complicated, we have an excuse not to walk it out. I told the Lord, I was like, Lord, just show me more. And he said, Cal, if only you'd already do what I taught you. He said, if you'd know five things and do them, you might be way ahead of knowing 100 things and doing three. So I was just praying, and I was thinking about a time when my wife and I went to see the London Bridge, took our family. For those of you that don't know, the London Bridge is in Lake Havasu, Arizona. True, look it up. That's where it was taken apart brick by brick and assembled in Lake Havasu, Arizona. So we were going to the London Bridge. They have a nice lake there in Lake Havasu. It's hot as, well, actually, I saw Satan there. He was fanning himself off, said, I got to get out of here. But we decided to go, but we had a newborn journey, our seventh. There's one on the way. Yeah, that's a whole nother story. But Journey had just been born, but one of my business partners knew a bunch of people there. He said, we have boats, we have jet skis, just come up. There'll be air conditioned, we have lodging. So we went. When we got there, we were sitting down eating. And he said, do you see that boat? So there's like a bay right there. He goes, do you see that boat out in the middle of the bay? And we look at this boat, and he said, it's called Pondzilla. And there's this massive 2.5-story pontoon boat, OD green, with huge American flags lurking out there. And I said, how do they keep it out there? He goes, well, he's the inventor of the slide anchor, so it's anchored out there. So you have all the nice boats, little jet boats here, but this monstrous boat is just sitting there lurking in the harbor. Well, the wind starts to pick up, and we're eating, and I notice Pondzilla's coming closer. And I said, is that boat moving? And he goes, no, that boat's anchored down. There's no problem. And I'm looking, I said, that boat's moving. So Pondzilla is now approaching the bay, right? It was like a movie. And you see everybody with the nice jet boats going. And Ponzilla's coming in. Everybody starts scrambling. The wind is just whipping it up. And everybody runs out there and starts to move their boats and put pads between their boats. And Ponzilla's coming in. So we can't get a hold of the owner. We have people swimming out, driving out in boats. They're trying to stop it. But Ponzilla will not be stopped. So by the time it hits the bay, we have probably 60 people trying to hold this boat from hitting other boats. Luckily, we were able we couldn't stop it, so we kind of deterred it over to hit and put it up on the sand. But in the process, someone had their leg gouged open. There was a couple other injuries. Some boats had hit and got some scratches. You know, drifting is dangerous. And if you think drifting is dangerous with a boat, it's more dangerous for a Christian. When things start to drift, at first they're not noticeable, but it can be detrimental. You know, we have many great, prestigious universities in this country, Harvard being one of them. Harvard was founded to train pastors for the church in the wilderness in 1636. 65 years later, another college was formed to train ministers because they see Harvard had drifted off its original course. So within 65 years of its founding, they renamed that college Yale. And here was their thing. This was their mission statement. Youth may be instructed in the arts and sciences, who though through blessing of God may be lifted for public employment both in the church and the civil state. In 1745, they moved to New Haven and it was renamed Yale. One of their employees, after 99 years of conception, one of their faculty was so excited, they wrote this letter to a friend. It said, "It would delight your heart to see how the trophies of the cross multiplied in this institution. Yale College is a little temple. Prayer and praise seem to be the delight of the greater part of the students." How far Yale has drifted since then. They now have atheists, social justice speakers, people that are opposed to the cross speaking and actually working within the college. And it's easy for us to sit back and go, wow, those colleges have drifted from their course, or churches have drifted from their purpose. But let me petition you today and submit this. Organizations don't drift, people do, and the organizations follow. Colleges don't drift. Families don't drift. Fathers drift. Mothers drift. Amen? And as we go is how the church will go. Hebrews 2:1 says this, "So we must listen carefully to the truth we've heard, or we may drift away." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the work you're doing right here in Virginia. Lord, you're doing a work here that will impact this city, this state, this nation, but also in the Philippines and other parts of the world, Lord. Let us remember who we are today. Let us listen carefully that we may not drift. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. That was good. The ladies did it. Let's try the men. And everybody said, amen. There you go. Sorry, military. Drifting is a driving movement or force, impulse, pressure. In navigation, the component of the movement that is due to the force of wind and currents. Okay? It's important to understand that. See, because we know that a boat is made for the ocean. You guys got boats, you got ships around here. I remember when I went to AIT here at Fort Eustis. You know what I mean? I was from Arizona. I'd never seen so much water. There we have roads that are straight because we don't have to go around water. We just make them the way they should be. North means north, south means south. Here it's like, I took so many freeways to get to the encounter, I think I hit 9. But boats are made for the water. But boats are safe at the harbor. See, it's fine that boats are safe in the harbor, but they're made for the water. See, there's not a problem when the boat's in the water. There just becomes a problem when the water gets in the boat. Amen? See, Christians are safe in the church, but they're made for the world. See, there's no problem when a Christian's in the world. The problem is when the world gets in the Christian. Amen? Or oh man. Quiet as a church in here this morning. John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But drifting isn't caused by the enemy. It's caused by pressure, force, and movement. In other words, regular life. I curse you, enemy. It's just Tuesday. Right? See, drifting is not an event, it's a process. Salvation is an event. Sanctification is a process. Right? A glance will save, but a glare will sanctify. It takes time. God wants time for us to mature, right? But also it takes time for us to drift. I believe this. The day you give your life to Jesus, you've already become everything you ever will be. Some of you just got sad. You'd be like, I'm praying for my husband to be someone different forever. And we understand being a new creation. You become a new creation. See, let us go into maturity. Maturity is not becoming someone new. It's realizing who you are and walking it out. It's receiving the word of God, identifying with it, and starting to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Maturity is recognizing and walking, not becoming. Because you're already awesome. Look at the person next to you and say, you are awesome and good looking in Jesus' name. Come on, Jesus makes you look better than you are. Thank God. That's why I stay in Christ. Have you seen my wife? All right. See, drifting is not caused by the enemy. It's caused by life. It's not an event. It's a process. So how does one start to drift? How does one start to drift? Revelation 2:4 says, yet I hold this against you. You forsaken the love you had at first. Or you have forsaken your first love. Do you remember when you gave your life to the Lord? You remember how excited you are? What happened? You remember you couldn't wait to read your Bible? What happened? See, the longer you're in Christ, the more excited you should be about Christ. Not the longer you're in Christ, you start to settle into Christ. See, the older generation should be inspiring the younger generation. Amen? So we lose our first love if we don't focus on what love is. You know, I taught a message from faithful to faith, and I said people get married, and it's amazing to me. They're not very good spouses. They go, well, at least I'm faithful. That was kind of already like hoped for. But how about being nice? Faithful's good, but I have some faith. You can become someone I actually want to like spend lunch with. It's a prophetic word for somebody. I'm supposed to be nice too. So how does one start to drift? Number one, you just stop paying attention. You ever been mad at your pastor? Give it time. And they preach, and it could be the best, most anointed word ever, and you're like, no. I'm taking notes. Because your offense is so big, you can't hear the word. It could be the best. It could be for you, and you didn't hear it. We stop paying attention. We stop listening for God to speak to us, and we start criticizing. You know, I don't know about the new lights. I got news for you. People are like, why do you need all these lights to reach Jesus? We don't. He's already reached us. The lights are for us, and we like them. New people come in and go, that's what I'm talking about. God's reached us. It's our job to reach people. So we do things to reach people, not to reach God. He's already reached us. So you stop paying attention. See, You can't compartmentalize your life. Well, this is my family life. This is my spiritual life. And it's like, well, you don't understand, Pastor. I can't do ministry because I have a family. The God that invented ministry invented the family. He's not dyslexic. He did it all. Amen? So the answer, and this is not a snub to James Dobson, but the answer is not a focus on the family. It's a focused family. Amen? See, children are like arrows. And the father must aim them, draw them close to their heart, and release them for the day of battle. That is a picture of parenting. And if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So if we don't pay attention or are not actively engaged, drifting can happen to the best of us. Because all it takes is that you stop paying attention. The fruit of your life is the evidence of the condition of your heart. Well, Pastor, I have the fruit of the Spirit. It's internal. All internal fruit produces external fruit, and I can see it. All apple trees make apples. I'm not a horticulturist. I don't know what it is. Till an apple pie, I go, that's an apple tree. Right? So internal fruit, through maturity and focus, always, always, always produces external fruit that we can see and enjoy. Amen? So people, well, I don't see any fruit in your life. Say, just wait. Because the harvest is coming. Amen? You wait. You watch the fruit that comes out of my life. Because the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit's working in my life and the fruit's going to work out. You just wait for the season. Adam and Eve became careless and familiar with the presence of God and paradise. And they started having demonic discussions. You want to eat that apple or that fruit for you scholars? Do you want a taste of the fruit? It's looking good. Okay. They stopped paying attention to the word of God and what he had said and what he warned them against. So now they became vulnerable to the plight of the enemy. They started to drift away from the word of God. And listen to me, demonic conversations never lead to godly action. Well, I don't know. Should we pray for those people? That's a demonic discussion. You just pray. Amen? See, people want to be disciplined. Discipline isn't making good decisions, it's removing decisions that shouldn't be in your head. I never wake up on Sunday and ask the family, do we feel like going to church today? I don't know, we're up late. And if you keep asking that question, sometimes it's going to be yes, sometimes it's going to be no. Stop asking the question and it's always yes. My kids don't wake up and ask, they know. You can't say you're living the great commandment if you're not fulfilling the great commission. I'm not talking about saving the saved. I'm not talking about if only the church next door knew what we knew. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if only the lost world knew the love of God that we know. Amen? See, drifting is a slow movement. Number two, how do we drift? Procrastination. I'm going to start one day. See, a ship that drifts never does it intentionally. It usually drifts because it has no captain or the captain is sleeping. Your life doesn't drift on purpose. It drifts because it has no captain or the captain is sleeping. You are the captain. The Bible says, wake, O sleeper. Modern day society says, stay woke. Whatever works for you. Don't worry, most of my jokes, five people get it, the rest don't. It's normal. My wife's still trying to understand some of them. Number three, how do we drift? Distraction. Being distracted. Listen, people say, you need to manage your time. You can't manage time. In an hour, it'll be an hour later. You can't manage it. You can't control it. You get 24 hours like the rest of us. You get 24 hours like Jesus did. You can't manage time. If you can stop the sun, it's happened once. If you can do that, you can manage time. Apart from that, we all get 24 hours. Then business people will say, you know what? Don't manage time, manage yourself. Good luck. That's an unruly thought. Manage your focus and you will be a disciplined person. What do you think about? What do you talk about? When you stop working, where does your mind go? What consumes you? What pulls you? That is your focus. So distractions number three, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first. Say first. I looked it up in the Greek. It means first. His kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. And my church, I brought a bunch of people on stage. I said, they represent all things. This is money. This is success. This is, you know, marriages. And I put them all on the stage. And I had one guy, I said, okay, I want you to seek all these things. Everyone you touch, you can have. And he went to touch one. They all ran around the sanctuary. And he's running around. He might have got one, but he didn't touch the rest. But Jesus said, if you sit here and you seek first the kingdom, and I made him stand still and he prayed, and I made all those things come and touch him. You got to choose carefully who runs. It gets crazy. See, we're constantly running after something. We're so distracted. And what happens is we start to drift. I heard a quote once said, a wicked man's heart is like a river. It always takes the path of least resistance. You know, we always want acceleration, but that equals stronger opposition. We have spiritual blinders on. What are some of them? Success can blind you from focusing on what God's calling you to do. Trials can blind you. Tragedy can blind you. And what it does is it takes your focus off. You let go of the wheel and you start to drift without knowing it. Dangers of the drift. You don't know where you are. I thought I was here. You ever said this? You ever been driving and got on the phone? Missed like three turns and go, how did I get here? As it is in the physical, as it is in the spiritual. Missed three turns. You walk into the mall, a new mall. The most important thing in the entire map is the big red you are here thing. Because if you don't know where you are, you can't get anywhere else. If you think you're somewhere you're not and you try to get somewhere, you're going to make all the wrong turns. So you have to understand where you're at. You have to stay focused. The other thing is you don't know where you're going. People that drift, they don't know where they are, but they don't know where they're going. They miss their destination. And this one's rough. They hit many obstacles that were not even meant for their life. Colossians 1:23 says, you must continue, everybody say continue, to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Don't doubt the things you know. Learn the things you don't know. Amen? Because the enemy always wants to attack your faith and get you to settle so then he can start working on your faithfulness. It's another message. Psalm 141:4 says, don't let me drift towards evil. This isn't Forrest Gump. You're not going to drift towards what is good. That requires hands on the wheel. Amen? If you're drifting, it's going to be towards evil. It says, or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. So how do we avoid the drift? Number one, realize where you are. Really. Not where people think you are. Not where you once were. Not the last place you left the car. Where are you today? Where are you today? Rick Warren says this, you drift through life and let things happen to you, or you go by design and say, this is what I was intended to do. If you haven't mentally taken the wheel of your life, then without realizing it, you're drifting. Your parents can't take the wheel of your life. Your professors can't take the wheel of your life. Your children, your bosses, your friends, your pastors, you are the one who makes the choice. Number two, establish where you want to go. I know, groundbreaking points. Know where you are and say, where do I want to go? Right? The greatest thing about recovering from the drift is no matter how far you drifted off in whatever direction, one prayer will bring you right back where you're supposed to be, and you get to reset and plot your course. Amen? You can drift for months and be back on course in 5 minutes. That's the grace and the power of God. So recognizing the drift, I always call it get a quick rebound. My wife and I, we don't argue because we're pastors. We have intense fellowship. But what we do is we rebound quickly. Hey, you're not going to make every shot. But if you miss, rebound it and dunk it. Right? How quick is your rebound? When you realize you're drifting, how quickly do you recover? Recover quickly. Don't let the enemy say, you should not pray. Remember, the enemy's against your soul. Anything he says, you should do the opposite. You're not worthy of God. Thank you, devil, for blessing me. That must mean I am. You can't do it. Thank you, devil, for blessing me. That must mean I can. Let him preach to you. No one likes you. That's a lie. Jesus does. I don't know about anybody else. Amen? It's okay if everybody liked you. It means you're not saved. Hey, I'm not saying because you're mean. You read Matthew chapter 5. I won't go there. Okay. So you have to establish where you want to go. I had a young man that was in one of my cell groups, and he was talking, and I said, well, what do you want out of your life? And he goes, I want to be a millionaire. And everybody else laughed at him. I said, don't laugh at him. You're in the right country, statistically. And he said, okay. I said, what's your 10-year plan? He goes, what? I said, okay, that's too much. What are you doing tomorrow that's going to help you move in that direction? And he goes, I don't know. I said, you're not going to be a millionaire. You won't even have a job. We're talking about dreaming. We're talking about vision. Lord, what do you have for me? Set some plans. I had a guy who says, man, you know, I went through all this stuff. I went to jail. I came out. I don't even have a high school diploma. I said, go take the GED. Oh, man, I don't have time to study. I don't study. Just go take it. I'll pay for it. I said, break your fear. When you see fear, meet it with faith. Go take it. If you fail it, then we'll study. We'll do it next time. Go for it. Well, I'm not sure what to do first. Call and ask where and when it is. No, hold on. Check it out. Take a step. No, we talk and worry and I don't know what to do. Pick up the phone. Best decisions are made with the best information. Where's the test? When's the test? Then you can figure out how to get there. But we think about it. We worry about it. It's so huge. But all we got to do is this. And you'll find out that you're heading in the right direction. God's grace will meet you there. You move, he moves. He went and took the test and passed it. See, that thing had been weighing on him for 5 years. And it took him 5 days to go in the right direction. Amen? It's like that with everything. I know we simplified it, but everything in your life takes one step. And here's where I really am, and taking a step in the right direction. God will meet you there. I'm too old to go to college. People say that. It's like, I can't take a full load of classes. One class. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I don't know how to pray. Pray for a minute. Yeah. Like, no, it's really that easy. Right. Jesus didn't try to complicate it so you couldn't do it. He's empowered you to do it. Take a step. Where are you at? What's your direction? You have to plan. And number three is start moving in that direction. Not thinking, not talking, moving. I want to get in shape. Go to the gym tomorrow. Right? Go for a walk tomorrow. You know, and I'm going to plan. Don't plan for 3 months. Read every book. Don't take 3 pills. Go do something tomorrow. Move. I'm going to do 1 push-up. You're in better shape than you were before. Right? No, it's really that simple. We go, no, it can't be that. It is. I'm no one to talk. I didn't realize I was talking to the encounter. I ate 8 pieces of pizza. It's horrible. I almost had to go buy a new jacket to preach. My wife's 6 months pregnant, and I think I got her beat. I'm just trying to make her feel comfortable. Listen, Marjorie Holmes says this, I find the great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we're moving. To reach the port of heaven, we must sail sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it, but we must sail, not drift or not lie at anchor. Move in a direction that God's called you to. Move. Do something in faith. Don't sit in comfort. Don't sit in fear. Move in faith just a little bit. Whenever you're afraid of something, do it now. Told my wife, I have to go. We're going to Guadalupe Island. I'm going down in the cage. I want great whites all around me. She goes, why? I just want to get it back on the boat and go. I look at it and she goes, there's a video of the shark went in the cage. I go, oh, I got to do it now. If I don't make it, you guys will have great stories. We knew this guy once. You need to be anchored in the instructions of the Lord, or you'll drift away by the popularity and the sayings of the world, because they're so loud, but it's that still small voice. If you stay anchored in the ways of the Lord, you're like, how can I stay anchored in the ways of the Lord and move? Because the Lord is not stagnant. When you're anchored in the Lord, he will move, you will move, he will move you, and you will move in the direction to where he's at. He's never even wants us to stay still. He wants us to move. Listen, when you don't feel like it, obey God anyways. You ever read your Bible and go, I don't like that. I'm going to highlight that with a permanent black marker. I'm going to trade in my Bible for a book of promises. That's nice. They don't work without the book of commands. It's kind of all goes together. See, it's not about liking it. It's about obeying it. Your understanding is not a prerequisite for your obedience. All you need to understand is he's God and you're not. Anybody here think you're God? Who would have cast it out to worship you? I don't know. So, do it anyway. What's right doesn't always feel good. It just is good. And not everything that is good feels good. God's going to allow you to get tested in some areas to bring the strength and help you remind you who you are. Bring your identity out as someone that goes, you know what? I've killed a bear and a lion. Bring on Goliath. Amen? But we're like, man, a lion. Why is God cursing me? He's preparing you for something bigger. See, when you start experiencing victory, you expect it. You ever see people lose and they're confused? It's because they win so much. That's how your life's supposed to be. Sometimes we don't win a battle, but we're confused because we're Christians and we're so used to winning, we just start moving to the next one. Amen? Amen? Be faithful to God and he'll come through for you. Be faithful to God and he will come through for you. There's no reason to push pause in your life, ministry, family. Anchor yourself in the move of God. Right? Well, I'm just going to take a season off. It's amazing to me, people that have physical illness want immediate healing, and people with emotional illness or, you know, having emotional wounds, they want a season. You know, Lord, I blew my ACL. Can we do like a slow process of like 5 years to get it working right? No. But when it comes to emotional trauma, I'm going through a season. Well, in most states, seasons are 3 months, not 38 years by the Pool of Bethesda. That ain't a season, baby. That's centuries. You don't talk about that's decades, I should say. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 9. Test yourself. Where am I? Really? Not what do people think, not what do people say, not your reputation, your character. Where am I? Put the thermometer in your own mouth. Look in your own mirror. See, sin's so much uglier on everybody else than it is on us. Because we judge their actions and we judge our motives. Well, I didn't mean to. We have to get back to looking in the mirror and being who we're called to be and taking steps in the right direction. It says, make sure you're solid in the faith. I always say this, what would it take for you not to be here next week? Car crash, family tragedy, woke up late. Like what level of drifting is required to pull you off anchor. That wasn't in my notes. I apologize in advance. Come back next week. Dr. Ray will be preaching an amazing message. Give yourself regular checkups, it says. Regular. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. And if you fail the test, do something about it. Don't be sad. We've all failed. I'm a pastor. I've missed opportunities to share Christ millions of times, but sometimes I do, and it's awesome. Don't let your past failures dictate your future victories. Do it today. Do something about it. Don't ask somebody, I'm just not getting fed. The internet overfeeds everybody. You don't need to be fed. What you need to do is move in the right direction. Amen? I'm excited because some of us have drifted at different times of our lives. Some of us are lightly drifting now. Look, I'm not talking about turning away from the Lord. I'm talking about just losing your focus and getting shift, and normal life happens and you find yourself moving in a course that you didn't want to go, and you don't want to end up in a destination you didn't plan for. Just realize the drift. Come, Lord, repent, and it'll put you right back on course and say, where do you want to go? And it'll help you get there in Jesus' name. Come on, let's be standing. So just in your heart right now, I don't want you to think about people in your life that you know have drifted or are drifting. I want you to examine your life today. Because sometimes those that are the greatest gifted or the greatest called can lightly drift and still do more than others and convince themselves they're doing what they're called to do. But God wants to raise up great men and women and young people in this church. John 14:12 says, greater things will you do because he's gone to the Father. I believe that because that's what the word says. I think to myself, greater things than you, I'm trying to do what others did. No, greater things. Take the limits off your mind. Take the limits off your life and believe God that greater things will he do. You haven't turned out. I don't care what your age is. You're turning out. And he's not done with you. I know because you're here. Make sure you're engaged. Make sure you're not just going through the motions. Make sure you're praying and seeing what God's doing in the lives of others and yourself. Give yourself a regular checkup. Where am I at today? How are my attitudes towards the things of God today? How are my attitudes towards the people of God today? Amen. I love you, God. I love people. I just don't like them. It's not biblical. Convenient. It's not biblical. Because when we love like God loves, and even someone that's hurt us, we love them like they're our own children. And when they make mistakes, we want God's best for them, not hoping they pay for what they did. And when you can pray for people like that, what God can do through you. Don't cry. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Try. That's it. Take a step towards God. Reposition yourself into his will. Take dominion over your life. It says, do something. Take dominion over your life. The goodness of God will draw people to repentance. It's not a feeling. It's a promise. I'm so excited for what God's doing here. Such an honor to be with my pastor and listen to him just cast vision. And man, I heard so many stories about you guys. I can't remember your name. It was like story after story after story of the people in this church, the potential. It's an exciting time to be alive. It's an exciting time to be here at Harvest. If you're in here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, one prayer will reposition you. Run prayer, one, will reposition you. And you can start plotting your course with the Lord. If that's you, the Lord's calling you and tugging on your heart, I want you to do something bold. I want you to raise your hand right now. Anybody in here? Come on, don't worry about everybody. This is your moment. Anybody? And those of you that are faithful, I want you to realize all the people that could have been here hearing the message. Not because I preach it, but because the gospel draws all men unto the Lord. And I want you to invite them and bring them into the goodness of God. Share the goodness that he's put in you. And watch them turn to Jesus. Those you the people you never thought would turn, invite them. Amen. We're going to have the prayer partners come forward right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward and just receive prayer, that you would be grounded, that you would be focused. Listen, this isn't a rededication. This is a readjustment or a realignment. You need to realize you're a world changer. And starting in that direction starts today. You're a planet shaker. Your prayers matter. You need to come forward and receive that today. And whatever you're doing, believe for greater things. Don't leave here the same. Don't leave here the same. Lord, I just thank you for everybody here. Lord, that you'd help us from drifting. You'd give us guidance and direction, that we would be who you've called us to be, that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We receive that today. We reject the lies and the rejection. What pain has told us, what experience has told us, today we receive your word and we're rooted and grounded in that. Move us to where you want us to go. We love you and we worship you this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. The altar's open.
Amen. Go ahead. We have a word here.